Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is B, and I am a recovered compulsive eater living in the steps one day at a time, and I'm from New York. Today is Tuesday, May 2nd, 2023. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 78 in the third paragraph, beginning with, perhaps we've committed a criminal offense, ending with, that's a common form of trouble too. And we're reading that one paragraph only. Today's readers, we have 12 Steps with Nancy C., 12 Traditions with Mary P. Eileen M. will be reading our text. Becca R. will be reading page 164, Vision for You. Jordan L. is our backup reader. Jane N. is our newcomer greeter. And announcements are with Betsy H. And thank you, everyone, for your service. We're going to have a great month together. The reference numbers for Monday, May 1st, 2023, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the number is 20,211. That's 20211. And then this morning, Tuesday, May 2nd, 2023, at the 7 a.m. meeting is 20,213. And that's 20213. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nancy C. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. Nancy C., gratefully recovered this morning by God's grace in Michigan. Here are the steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Nancy. Mary P., will you please read the traditions?
I will. Thank you, Diane. This is Mary P. from Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or Friday, we ask you to step back so that others may have a chance. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And in order to hear everyone clearly, please do not use the speaker function on your phone. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 78, paragraph 3. And so, Eileen, will you get us going, please? Take it away.
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Perhaps we have committed a criminal offense which might land us in jail if it were known to the authorities. We may be short in our account and unable to make good. We have already admitted this in confidence to another person, but we are sure we would be imprisoned or lose our job if it were known. Maybe it's only a petty offense such as padding the expense account. Most of us have done that sort of thing. Maybe we are divorced and have remarried, but haven't kept up the alimony to number one. She is indignant about it and has a warrant out for our arrest. That's a common form of trouble, too. So this is a really interesting paragraph because I don't feel, in all honesty, that I can really speak to this. I haven't had any experiences with criminal offenses. But it does remind me to really stop and think about it. I've been thinking about this all morning, actually, as I was preparing for this meeting. And, you know, the reminder to me is that, you know, we do have to go to any length for a spiritual experience. And, you know, in terms of amends, making amends is that, you know, I've never gone into any amends alone. You know, I had my higher power with me. And that's very reassuring. Because I know I had some pretty scary amends to make. And, you know, it was just a matter of asking higher power to help me be willing to do it. And then, you know, literally talking to higher power all the way through. And, you know, that's what kind of got me through. And let's see, you know, in terms of like, you know, I was thinking about, well, really, is there anything I have done in the past that could have been a criminal offense? And I thought about, you know, I can just ask my higher power, you know, if I omitted anything in my inventory. And, you know, here's the thing is, you know, the answer is going to come. If there is something, it's going to be revealed to me because I strongly believe in more. What is it? More gets revealed as we go along. So anyway, so that's what I have to share, and thanks so much.
Thank you, Eileen. Thank you for getting us started. So I am now ready to take names of people who would like to share. Please give me your first name, the initial of your last name. Star one to unmute.
Veronica B.
Veronica B.
Deborah L.
Deborah L. I can take a couple more.
Diane H.
Oh, another Diane. O. Kathleen O, was it? Anybody else? Okay, let's start there. We have Veronica B., Deborah L., Diane H., and Kathleen O. And when you share, please give us the state or where you're calling from. So we'll start with Veronica B. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. I am Veronica, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. And thank you very much for your service. This paragraph speaks to me because in my eating career, my compulsive eating career, I stole a lot. I was, I used to be the hall, the locker monitor girl in charge of the locker room. I was in charge of all the locker rooms, the women's locker rooms, and I would go to each woman's locker in high school, and I would go through their stuff to steal money so that I can go off campus to go eat my my fast food, my burgers, chili fries, a shake, and dessert. Every day I would steal from these girls, and eventually they started complaining, so I had to stop that. When I was in my current job, I would sell food and I would pocket the money, and I would use that money to get my binge on. And a lot of my jobs, I would steal so that I can go and get my proper binge on. And that was living a very dishonest life, and I felt so much shame and guilt for that. And this drove me to want to eat more, just to cover up the feelings of being so dishonest. And this is how I relate to this paragraph. This disease that I have of I don't have a food problem. I have a living problem. I eat because I can't live life on life's terms. Life gets too lifey for me. So I need food to check me out. And when I came here, I got a sponsor. She took me through the 12 steps, and I got a relationship with a God of my understanding, my own God, that takes care of me, that today I rely and I depend on. And I am so grateful that I get to live this spiritual way of life, this life, because of the steps, because of living the spiritual way of life, I got freedom. I got freedom from the obsession to go to food every time sometimes every time I'm disturbed. And believe me, I get disturbed multiple times in a day. So I have to dig deeper into this relationship with God. And I just want to say, in the last 6 months, I've gained 4 pounds. I've gained 4 pounds. And I've been honest with my sponsor. And, just one extra snack or didn't weigh that day, whatever, So that's where I have to just get really honest and current and tighten things up a little and just lean more into God. Because God is my only solution. The spiritual way of life is the only solution. So thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Veronica B. from California. Next, we have Deborah L. followed by Diane H.
Hi, my name's Deborah L. I live in Arizona. And it's weird, but I had a dream last night that I shared on the meeting today. But if I shared on the wrong paragraph, it's kind of weird because I haven't spoken on the meeting for a very long time, at least 3 years, not 3 days. But what I wanted to share was I did have to make an amends one time for a criminal offense. And the odd thing about it is I thought I had completed all my amends, yet every time I moved, I was carrying this packet of silverware that I had stolen. It was several, I don't know how much. I'm going to guess a couple $1,000 worth of silverware. Why I stole it many years prior, I have no idea, other than just insecurity, jealousy of other people. I grew up very poor, and I worked at a country club, and I stole the silverware. But I never used it, and I just carried it around. Every time I moved, I found that pack of silverware, but it never struck me to make amends until one time I was moving to go away to a certain special school program that was a gift of these 12 steps, and I pulled that packet out, and I was like, oh my God, I can't do this anymore. This is so wrong. Talked to my sponsor about it and went to the police. And it was probably one of the scariest things I've ever done, to walk in there, ask for the manager, and they wanted to know what it was about. And I said, it's very personal. I got into the office with her. My heart was racing, and I told her many years ago I stole the silverware. And I told her why I thought I took it and why I was returning it. And her mouth was just open, literally, in shock. And I said, I totally understand if you have to call the police. And she said, no, I'm not going to call the police. I just can't believe this is happening. And I said, I have to do it. I want to be a different person. And she was pretty choked up by the whole thing. And I never met that manager. It was a new manager. And she said she wasn't calling it. She didn't want to take the silverware. I said, please take this. And I walked out of there just knowing I did the right thing. And you know, where it says willing to face jail, I'm thankful she didn't call the police. And I've been, you know, I didn't stay abstinent that time. I stayed over in another program, but I'm doing my best to make all of my amends now and not leave anything like that. It was a wonderful experience, and I just wanted to share it. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah L. from Arizona. Diane H., you're up.
Hi. My name is Diane H. from Florida, Eastern Standard Time. This conversation this morning takes me back to let me know that I can get back into some pretty terrible things, because as a compulsive overeater, I always knew of the worst kind, that I knew what I have done for food, to get food. As a young teenager, 13 years old, stealing out of a corner store because I wanted all those candies and stuff that my parents said I couldn't have, and I couldn't have it at home. So it was just such a thrill, and then to hide and eat it all until I had to stop because I feared getting caught and my parents finding out. And writing bad checks, writing checks that you had to catch back in the day when I was newly married, my first husband, I would write checks for, because I would buy a bunch of junk at the stores and I couldn't pay for it. And I couldn't go into grocery bills because that would be accounted for. So I would always catch these checks, and the account was always behind, and it was never enough money, and I was cheating my family and my children from having good food and setting an example of eating, because my daughter would see, or she was always watching me, so she would go through the trash the next morning to see what her mother, I figured out that's how I knew she knew what was going on, because she would try to figure out what her mother had, because she wanted it and didn't let her in on it. And I can go back to all of that. I know I can. It doesn't take much for me to go right back and stealing. And that was, you know, that was dishonesty, and that was caused a lot of trouble. And I always worried so much about finances, and it's because there was never enough, because when I'm into the compulsive eating, I'm going to be spending it on food. I'm going to find a way to get more food. And by the grace of God, I am abstinent from compulsions and obsessions of the mind, compulsions of the body, one day at a time. And I'm just very grateful for my sponsor, for the room still being here. And thank you for allowing me to share.
Thanks, Diane. Kathleen O., you're up.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Kathleen O. in Northern California, such a compulsive overeater. You know, I'm walking my dog, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to listen. But I don't know, sometimes I get a nudge, probably because one of my sponsees shared, who says, I haven't heard you for a while. So here I am. Very grateful to be on the line with all of you. And this, you know, as a child, I started stealing money from my parents. They'd have change around the house, and I'd go find it and go buy candy. And when I got into high school, I got like the best job ever. And my best friend and I, she was also my eating buddy, we both worked in what was called the student store. And it was open at lunch and after school for, you know, an hour. And we had a key. And in this, quote, student store, it was a very small little, I don't know, like 10 by 10 area, 12 by 12, I don't know what it was. And there was this, you know, aluminum opening that we would pull open, and then it was open and closed when it was closed. So it had every Hostess thing you could think of, every candy bar you could think of, and very few pencils and pens because people came to eat. And we would literally on weekends, on Friday afternoons, go in there and stuff. I wasn't stuffing the purse. I was stuffing my purse with candy is what we were doing. And I never thought of it as stealing. It's like they never took inventory. No one was ever watching what we were doing. We were never accountable for anything. And it's like, oh, well, this is a perk, right? And, you know, there are times where I would go through life thinking, oh, this is a perk from my job or whatever. And it wasn't. And so anyway, that was one of my more difficult amends to make, because it had been decades since I had graduated, and I called the school, and I said, you know, do you have a counselor that does 12-step? And they said yes, or is familiar with it. So I asked for her name, and I didn't live around there anymore, and I was in the area, and I had to go to the bank and get a check. And I mean, there were so many things that came up where I could have said, oh, this isn't going to work. It's pouring rain. Can't get to the bank. Or when, and I did, it's like the gates open and I got to the bank and it was just, it's a perfect example of God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And anyway, I went and talked to this woman, and she was very young, but understood what I was doing. And I gave her the check.
Gentle reminder.
And I felt hundreds of pounds lifted off my shoulders. This is like the best thing we can do in program. And thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen O. I am ready to take more names. Please, first name, last initial, please.
Christy M.
Elaine
G.
M.
York.
Hold on. M. Elaine
G. York.
G. Gotcha.
Susan A.
Christy M. Elaine G. Susan A. Anybody else?
Good enough.
R. I'm sorry, I missed that. Somebody R.
Becca R.
Becca. Okay.
And Jordan L.
Jordan L. Gotcha. Okay. So we have Christy M., Elaine G., R., Jordan L., and somebody else just said something.
And it's Debbie.
Deb E?
Yeah.
Got
Deb
it.
And then okay, it's E.
Thank you. So let's start with Christy M., followed by Elaine G. star one.
Good morning. This is Christy. I'm grateful recovering bulimic anorexic and overeater from Oregon. And thank you for all who's done service today. What this passage really made me think of was just thinking about secrets and like the past. And I'll say a lot of what, you know, comes with my identity. I felt like I walked through the world and you can't see this, you know, like this disease that I'm carrying. And it was this terrible secret that I felt so much shame around. And I didn't feel like I could tell anyone or anyone would understand, or that if I shared with anybody, you know, what they would think of me. And I think going through inventory, it's this process where like you have to go and you have to be able to share like the very worst parts of yourself and the very worst things that you've done, the things that like that you carry. And sometimes it's hard to see how some of the things in your past are related to your disease, some of the wrongs that you've done. But I think that goes back to like the food is just the symptom, right? Like not every terrible thing I've done was directly related to my disease or to food. But if I don't go there and I don't look at them all, if I don't do that full inventory, then it's like that healing can't happen in the way that it needs to. And I know one of the things I did when I was younger that was pretty, you know, weighs on me now is I had a friend, and it would get really hot where I was growing up, and we were bulimic in our teens, and we would do this thing where it was really hot in the drive-thru, and we would go in the drive-thru, and we would sit there, and we would refuse to leave unless they gave us food. And then people would be, like, honking, and so a lot of times we would order this food, and then we would say we didn't have money, and then we wouldn't leave until they gave us the food. And most of the time, people would just give it to us to get us out of there. And I think there's only one time where someone called the police, but it was just terrible things to get food, going to any lengths to get food. And then there was a lot of things that necessarily weren't related to food, but just things that kind of like haunted me that I was carrying. And I find now that, you know, like it's easy to have, you know, one little slip and justify, oh, like this isn't that big of a deal. I don't really need to tell my sponsor, or, you know, it's not like I relapsed, and it's like that one bite or that one extra thing. If I don't tell anybody, if I keep it a secret, it's like that is the start of my sickness, of my disease, of keeping secrets. And so this process, you know, like for the first time, I had to tell somebody who was like, you know, not a therapist, but somebody just the darkest parts of myself and the things that I'm the most ashamed of. And that's really hard, you know, it's really hard to share some of those things with people. And but if I don't, then I don't get the healing, and I thank you, I'll wrap up, and I don't get the recovery. So I'm glad that I was able to share some of those parts of myself, and with that I'll pass.
Thank you, Christy. Next we have Elaine G, followed by Susan A.
Hi everybody, this is Elaine G from New York. I got COVID, so that's kind of why I sound kind of weird here. But anyway, not the great way to start the May. Anyway, there were two instances in my life that I felt I was unlawful. And I talked about it in my fourth step. One of them was that when I was in my 20s, I wasn't working. My father claimed me as a dependent. And the income tax return, the money, which was, I don't know, about $2,000 or so, was supposed to go to him to check. No, I decided, oh, wow, look at this. For me and my son, we'll be able to go out to this restaurant, that restaurant. We'll have a real good time, you know? So that's what I did. And it wasn't until after he passed that I was able to give an amends. And let me think of another thing. Another thing was that my father had given me money for emergency fund, and I spent it all. And my son was yelling at me, very compulsive. And I didn't think nothing of it. You know, but now I realize how wrong it was. But anyway, that's about it for me.
Thank you, Elaine G. Next, we have Susan A.
Hi, I'm Susan A., calling from Philadelphia. And I've been debating since the start of step 9 here whether I wanted to share some of my deepest things. And today I definitely feel compelled to. And I'm just going to share 2. The first one, which I feel like is the same, is something that could have landed me in jail, was I abused my children. And, you know, it wasn't like they had broken arms or, you know, bruises, but it was something that I felt was just so wrong. And that was at my first 5th step 19 years ago. And my amends had to be a living amends, okay? So after that, I had to learn another way, because abuse has carried on through the generations, and I realized that I was the one who was going to have to break this cycle. And it was really difficult. But as someone else said, I can do anything with God's help surrounding me, guiding me, and just being next to me as I have to make these living amends, because I didn't know how not to do it. The second one was to my ex-husband. It took years for me to make this amends. We had been divorced due to his coming out as gay, and I needed to make amends for my part in that divorce. And 2 years ago, I finally did what I deemed the 9th step tour, and I drove from North Carolina to Pennsylvania, and I made my amends to him. And, you know, he accepted it graciously. I was very grateful for that. But I did have this, like, underlying, like, okay, are you going to apologize for everything you did? And no. I called God in with me for the 10-hour drive. I literally was praying for 10 hours because my ex-husband was my first amends up here. And the answer is no. This is your side of the street. You have nothing to do with his side. And so I did it. So I just want people to know that, like, if you do
gentle reminder
have things that you know immediately, definitely do them. But through the years, I would, you know, if you find other things that need to be done, do them. It helps you stay on the path. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Susan. Next, we have Becca R., followed by Jordan L.
Hey, good morning. This is Becca R., a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic, calling in from Kentucky. And thanks for all the great shares thus far. I was really compelled to share the phrase bigger than the rules. And I almost wish that the big restitutions could just be it. I have a friend who says this disease is like getting kicked by a bunny rabbit. And where I didn't have like these
big amends to make for outright theft, or it's all these little dishonesties that have come to play in my life. And the phrase that hits it the hardest is bigger than the rules. I'm recovered. I'm abstinent. I pay my taxes. I return my shopping cart. But more I'm finding as I'm practicing specifically the 10th step, and I'm inventorying each day, and there's a question that says, where have I been dishonest? And it's these little bunny rabbits, so to say, that come up. And what that looks like the other day is we have a dog who takes allergy medicine. And my husband works at a medical facility. And I said, hey, can you get me a couple TB syringes? We're out. And again, I hear the words bigger than the rules. Like, that's where it's going to get me. And that is that buildup of human emotion that I cannot afford, that will take me back to the food. And so I'm grateful for the practice. I'm grateful to always be uncovering and discovering and discarding. And I am going to make amends for the syringes. So thanks for listening.
Thank you, Becca. Now we have Jordan L. followed by Deb. Jordan, star one, please.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for moderating for us this morning, Diane. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. living pretty free. definitely free of the food. I think, like, having found this way of life, it's funny, right? Because we're talking about making amends, and I mean, I had some, considering I was only 20 years old when I came into my first 12-step program, I had some pretty big ones to make. I had done quite a bit of damage in just those 20 years. and so I made them. I had actually committed crimes and had to get honest about those crimes that I had committed and take responsibility for what it was that I had done. really face myself, you know? And it was in a way of, like, no more excuses, no more shortcuts. I like what was shared about being beyond the rules. Like, I really had to, in order to make amends, I really had to, like, become a part of the human race, become just another bozo on the bus. And I can't say that I've, like, practiced that perfectly, because my ego returns in all shapes and forms and wonky things over. As I stay sober and I stay abstinent, but I continue to, like, be here, you know. I'm not doing this perfectly, but I do continue to, like, be here practicing this. and I like what's been shared as well about life happening and, like, continuing to show up here and stay abstinent through it, you know, and continuing to maintain and grow this spiritual experience, however haltingly that progress looks like at times.
Gentle reminder.
So again, I'm just grateful to be here this morning and a part of this meeting, and able to like take responsibility for me, take responsibility for Jordan, and learn the Serenity Prayer. I continue to learn about the wisdom to know the difference between what's mine to take responsibility for and what's mine to let go and just accept. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thanks, Jordan L. from Colorado. Next, we have Deb E.
Hi. Sorry, my voice went. Hi, it's Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And wow, are the shares resonating with me today. There's just so much I've heard. I came in late, so I'm not even sure exactly what paragraph we're on, but everything everyone said has just really hit home. And just starting with, like, the last thing I just heard, just taking responsibility. I feel like some things have been a lot easier to take responsibility for, and some, you know, I just kind of still want to hang on to blaming until, like, you know, I do a check and go, oh, you know, it really is, you know, I really do have a part in everything. Like, there's never any situation where it's completely the other person's fault. And that can still be hard sometimes for me to accept, especially on the really big things. And all the talk about, you know, the behaviors that there's so much, like, there's, I just think of like all the behaviors related to my character defects, right? That really have nothing to do with the food. It's the behaviors that I ate over, but they're just, like, there are behaviors that I just associate with my addiction and that I see that I only engaged in that state of being active in my addiction and not having any kind of spiritual connection, you know, having a higher power sort of, but not connecting with it at all, not like seeking it out of fear, which did not work for me. And then what really got me, and I feel like this is a big theme, it's been a big theme for me for quite a few years, is just stopping that cycle of that unhealthy behavior and those patterns that, as far as I know, have existed for at least two generations before me. And as far as I know, I'm the only one who's stopped to face it and said enough. And so there are moments where I start to feel hopeless, like it's just too much on one person's back to like undo and stop and make a better, you know, make it better for the future generations. But all I can do is just like pray for guidance and do the next right action. And that's what I continue to try to do, just hear what my higher power has in store for me and to remember that like these things don't just disappear overnight. They're, you know, and it's already decades of work, but it's just constant. It's constant work, and I don't say that in a discouraging way. I mean, it's constant work that, like, I'm glad that there's constantly something for me to work on and to try to strive for reaching that next level up of spirituality and spiritual connection, and that there's no ceiling there, you know, that I can continue. There's always more room for growth, and as long as I remain teachable, there's hope. So I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb E. from Israel. We have time for one more share. Would somebody like to jump in and take it?
I could jump in if you don't mind. This is Barbara.
I love it. Who is this?
Thank you. Barbara from New Jersey. Mm-hmm.
Barbara
okay.
E.?
Yes, Barbara E. You're absolutely
Thank
right.
You.
Well, I too came in late to the meeting, so I didn't hear the reading, but I just wanted to give my take on what I've heard from those beautiful shares. They say that a person's personality is the sum of their experiences, but it's not exactly true for me, because if my past was all that defined me, I'd never be able to put up with myself. I need to be allowed to believe that I'm more than the sum of my past mistakes. And even yesterday, They can be life lessons. I can choose to be the sum of my next best choices, and tomorrow will be what it can be. And I have to throw down the sword and walk off the battlefield and surrender and admit it's weakness, not strength, that binds us together. My first year, I was learning how to keep my head above water. The second year, I was learning how to swim. And now I know if I'm caught in the riptide of life, and I am very often, I swim with it, not against it. Dismantling my old ideas of what my body is and giving myself grace. And if I slip, I'm not a bad person. I have an illness, and today can be a better one. And a famous person said, and I won't quote the name, but he is definitely would fit in right here, if he thought the world were coming to the end tomorrow, he'd plant an apple tree today. And to me, that means hope. Give me hope that there will be tomorrow. And what am I going to do for today, myself? Accept my spiritual blockers. That's defects in OA terms. My defects sometimes teach me more to learn about, to accept and pray and pause and consider before I react. So thank you, everyone. I appreciate your humility, your honesty, and being here every day. Thank you. I pass.
Diane, for one to unmute.
Oh, yes. I love talking to myself. Sorry. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Becca R. from Kentucky please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hello, this is Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater from Kentucky. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little, will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.